Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, and whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Episode 1, 2, 3. Easy as do re mi. Simple as 1, 2, 3, ABC. Laugh it up, fuzzball's a place to be. I don't know, that was not practice. But hey, welcome to level 1, 2, 3. Easy as ABC. Simple as dope. Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. And if I had no other plans, it was just that it was level 1, 2, 3 ABC. No, I'm sorry, I won't do that to you again. And I just easy as ABC, simple as dope. But welcome friends to another episode of the podcast that we're Saturday recording after the work, as I do the laundry. And hopefully you will not notice any breaks in the podcast as I go to put clothes into the washer or dryer. While the podcast is not a chore, there are chores to be done, even though grad school is done. And whoa, let's just be excited. Grad school, for now, is done. So I actually get like 6 weeks where I can record whatever I want. And I fear that I'm going to enjoy my time off and it's going to be the same recording schedule, but we shall see. Hopefully while I won't be the winter of guests, hopefully I can get Danny and Blue and some other people onto the podcast while I actually have some time to do some recording, but we shall see how it all shakes out. Let's get started. Lots of information to cover here in the last episode of this solar orbit before the official Christmas holiday. I didn't say it like the Japanese say it, but I sort of said it phonetically as if it was spelled K-A-R-I-M-A-S-U. Carissimas. I think I spelled that wrong again. It's okay. Obviously, I need to go back to my simple as ABC. But let's go right into some Star Wars. Lots of Star Wars. Let the Wookiee win. All the Star Wars. And, you know, the Mandalorian rumors continue with lots and lots of stuff. A plot. Well, I guess I'll say spoilers if you don't want to hear any of this. But if you're on the interwebs, I don't see how you can avoid it, especially if you watch Star Wars stuff like me. But here's your warning for Mandalorian potential spoilers. I normally actually don't put something on the podcast if I feel like it's a gigantic spoiler. But, I mean, that's my the way I see things, so I realize other people might see it differently. But the first is a plot point of a mission to kill a baby. This show's gonna get dark and grizzled, friends. We'll get back to the grizzleds. Also, Gamorrean guards, or Gamorrean guards, however you say it, being spotted on set, which really, really excites me. You know, I see Gamorreans and I think huts. Of course, no huts have been seen, but that would be on a soundstage and hopefully hidden from whoever these super snoopers are who keep getting all these scoops, if you will, for the Mandalorian show. Also, news that the film's going to feature classic bounty hunters like IG-88 and Bossk. For sure, a droid and a Trandoshan have been spotted on set, and I am pretty, pretty stoked. I even heard something about like a speeder bike chase with IG-88. Whoa, sounds totally cool. I think that'd be perfect. I think that'd be rad. Of course, if you didn't hear news, John Kasdan, one of the writers for Solo, actually wanted to use Bossk in the Solo movie, but then just settled for a mention of Bossk. So cool, super duper cool. Also, Sabine Wren's helmet has apparently been spotted on set, sparking fans to think that Gina Carano was actually cast as her. Of course, then there was news that the voice actress, who actually is an athletic, attractive female, would also want to play the part. So, you know, only time is going to tell. But that is really, really cool news, considering it would be a connection for Rebels. So, you know, why not? Also, there's been casting, and it makes me laugh because some of this is official casting. But Pedro Pascal is officially the Mandalorian, and that's cool. Of course, I already mentioned Gina Carano. Carl Weathers, which I've already talked about on a previous podcast. That's a totally different thing, a podcast. So yes, Mando Calrissian, and I'm sure Danny's groaning at that joke. Werner Herzog also joining the cast, so it's going to get quiet and foreign in at least one scene of the show. What else? Emily Swallow from Supernatural has been added to the cast. Joins Breaking Bad's Giancarlo Esposito and American Gods' Omid Abtahi and Deadpool's Gina Carano, which I already mentioned, but sorry, it's show notes. Oh, but I looked it up real quick while I was sort of vamping. Talented, but Tia Sarkar is the voice actress, and she would actually be willing to play. And looking at pictures, yeah, she totally could play Sabine Wren. So look her up, Tia Sarkar. It's TIYASIRCAR, and make a decision for yourself. She's a very pretty lady, and I could see her playing Sabine Wren older. There was a fun, if you're not following Mark Hamill on Twitter, if you do the tweets and the twits, follow him. He's hilarious. He's also very politically disposed. So I guess if you're really right wing, Mark Hamill might make you upset. He's not a big fan of President Trump, but he did put up a joke that here is the first trailer for Star Wars. And God love him. It's a picture of a trailer that says Star Wars on the side, and it just brought me joy. And I like pointing out what a treasure Mark Hamill really is. If anybody has been sleeping on the movie Solo, and I know some people they just wanted to boycott it because they didn't like The Last Jedi, or they didn't think it looked good, or why were they making a movie about Solo without Harrison Ford, even though he's like 70 million. If you've been sleeping on it, you're like, I don't want to see it in a theater. They don't get my money. I don't want to buy it on Blu-ray. They don't get my money. I don't want to spend $1.99 at Redbox. They don't get my money. Well, here's the deal. I'm not saying they should get your money, but if your money is already going to Netflix, it hits Netflix in January. So technically almost free, because you could convince yourself you're spending the money on Netflix for other things, like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because you like weird lenses and strange, unspeakable chemistry and tension when looking at a teenage girl. But that's neither here nor there. Solo hits Netflix in January. But also, just a warning, Rogue One, catch it one more time, since it will be departing in January. So there you go. We'll get ready to watch Solo for semi-free, and watch Rogue One one more time if you do the Netflix, because it's going away. It's going away, friends. It's bah, going away. I don't know. Is this a musical episode since I started singing? Stay tuned. What else? Ludwig Göransson. Of course, there's an umlaut over O, so Ludwig Göransson. I don't know how to say his wonderful Scandinavian name, but he is going to compose the score for The Mandalorian. If you don't know his work, if you've seen Fruitvale Station, you've heard his stuff. If you've seen Creed and or Creed 2, you've heard his scores. Venom, he did the score for that. And of course, if you enjoyed Black Panther, like a billion other people, you heard his music in the background. That's his biggest credit, for which he has won an award, or at least been nominated for an award. He's also worked on the sitcoms Community, Happy Endings, and New Girl. And if you're a fan of Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Lando Calrissian in the Solo movie, a.k.a. Donald Glover, you will know his work from three of Childish Gambino's albums. So really interesting, exciting, and he's a young composer, so we'll see what he brings to The Mandalorian. I guess I should mention, The Mandalorian, I said gritty, like the cast for that show, I think with the exception of Emily Swallow, who is younger, is totally like, I think Gina Carano was the youngest before Emily Swallow was added to the cast at 36 years old, and everybody else much older. And I think that's great. You know what I mean? It's sort of like these actors are actors that people that got into Star Wars when they were young, like 1977 style, have been following. And then this is after Return of the Jedi. So, yeah, that's really good news. I actually looked up Emily Swallow And she is not, no, Gina Carano is the youngest because Emily Swallow is like a year older than me at 39. And they're, if you didn't know how old I was, there you go. So yeah, lots of old cast. Wow, for some reason I heard Supernatural and I just thought it would be a CW actress who was young and beautiful because that's what they do. but she's a nice age, not old because I'm not old, and she's beautiful. I mean, she's on the CW, so there you go. What else? Oh yeah, and Star Wars Episode 9 rumors. So you could do your Scooby Doo doodle-doo, doodle-doo, doodle-doos if you wanna go away from those. But there's a really cool one about Kylo Ren redonning his mask. Although no, now it's apparently been reforged using some red crystalline substance to give him a Darth Maul look. That's what the articles I was reading say. I have no idea what that means. I just like, wow, that sounds cool. Because it was smashed to bits and then put together with red and all the seams. I think this sounds really cool and will spark many masks and many a con for the future. Also rumors, BB-8 is going to get a buddy droid named Dio in the final installment of the Skywalker saga. If you've read the Poe Dameron comics or actually seen Star Wars Resistance, BB-8 likes to have droid buddies. He does. Droids like to be friends, and that is great. Also, Ed Sheeran, he of the funny-looking, making girls swoon with music, face... he have the Game of Thrones fame making fans mad, although all he did was sing a Renaissance-y song. He has been cast as a stormtrooper, so don't get mad. They're going to cover his face anyways. He's funny looking. They'll cover it. You may not even know it's him, unless the stormtrooper's like, let me sing about how I never hit something. We've had much training with the First Order. Now I can't shoot something even though I got my friend got shot. And it made Finn go away. That's officially Ed Sheeran's song for Episode 9. You're welcome. All the spoilers. Now I want to go back and listen to the podcast just to hear that dumb song. I'm having a good time. Doing laundry puts you in a good mood. Also, if you did not see, Kevin Smith reportedly spent a week on the set of the movie where he says the set was massive, like a small country, and that he witnessed a career-best performance from an unnamed character. He did get spoilers for the film. He says this may be the best movie yet, and at some point when he was watching that career-best scene, he rolled a tear for what he was seeing. Hell to the yeah, friends. I share so many sensibilities with Silent Bob that anything that comes from his mouth, I'm like, that's very likely how I'm going to feel. We're not the same person. I'm sure we have differences. But yeah, for all the news and rumors that I have heard about Episode 9, this was the best one for this fuzzball. Really, really made me excited. In a previous episode, I geeked out about the Galaxy of Adventures 1-minute shorts that are on... Star Wars Kids on YouTube, but I did forget to mention toys, as often happens with Star Wars stuff. This is probably the point of it, is toys. And that's right, friends, the shorts are bringing radical toys for your kiddos and for your collections. There is a Chewbacca that has my name on it. Wave 1 is Luke, Vader, R2, and Chewie. Wave 2 is Leia, Yoda, Han, and a Stormtrooper. They're 3 3/4 figures. Really, they don't look all that different from previous figures you may have in your collection. But hey, it's the packaging, right? Fair warning, it's kid-friendly packaging accompanying mini comics. And I cannot tell from the kid-friendly packaging if you can actually even see the figure inside, like to hang it on a wall or whatever. But they are available at Walmart right now. Although I don't go to Walmart often, but this is something that makes me sort of want to go. That and the fact that I heard there's a Chewbacca Santa hat. That's neither here nor there. The toys do go national in 2019. So yeah, if you're looking to get your nieces, nephews, kiddos Star Wars toys, this is pretty exciting news. I think it is interesting. Also, Disney recently shared an image of the completed Millennium Falcon at their Galaxy's Edge edition of their Disneyland theme park. I know the crowds are going to be crazy when this opens in 2019, but just seeing the Falcon for real really makes this fuzzy geek smile. Also, details emerge, the Smuggler's Run attraction that is going to be, you know, the whole point of having the Falcon is that'll be part of the line, I'm assuming, the queue, if you will, for this. But the ride is going to be able to fulfill the fantasies of 1,800 guests an hour, which it may not seem like a lot, but that's actually pretty good. The lines are going to be long, but that really is on par with a lot of other rides at Disneyland. I don't have specifics of all the numbers, but yeah, like 1,800 sounds about like Indiana Jones, a little bit more than Jungle Cruise. And all you really do is take the ride vehicle versus versus how many fit on there, and then what you think the dispatch time is for the thing. So, you know, like an Indy car, what goes like every 30 seconds or something, maybe less. You know, Jungle Cruise, what's probably like, I don't know, a minute and a half. You know, who, I don't know how many fit on those, but or maybe I do. But yeah, so that's really on par. Here's hoping for fast passes or a press pass in the future. But yeah, the line's going to be 5.5 hours when it first opens. But then with that 1800 and waning interest in the year 2030, you could get on the ride pretty decently fast. And then just have really good people in line with you, and then everything will be fine. In the Star Wars Books Arena, the third Thrawn book was announced by Del Rey. It is titled Thrawn Treason. Set in the time frame before Rogue One, when the TIE Defender program was halted. You may remember that from Star Wars Rebels. Apparently, Orson Krennic and his Death Star program will be involved. Eli Vanta is also going to return with information about the Chiss Ascendancy. And Thrawn seems like he has a choice to make regarding loyalty. This is all hard to wrap my brain around, considering info I know from Star Wars Rebels and what seems like a really small timeline. But I am curious for this book. It comes out summer 2019. Is written by Timothy Zahn. And yeah. Yeah, and I'm really hoping to finally read the second Thrawn book here on my break between semesters for grad school. So, yeah, cool. Right on. George Lucas, in my Star Wars news, he topped Forbes' list of the wealthiest celebrities in America. $5.4 billion. Wow, that is a lot of money. The closest U.S. celebrity to him was Spielberg at $3.7 billion. I would say George was Oprah rich. But I guess it's important to point out that he is almost two times richer than that icon, who reported in at $2.8 billion. The top 10 had more money combined, is like 17 point something billion, than the gross domestic product of Ireland. George was more than a quarter of that. Just really let that sink in. Say what you want about the creator of Star Wars, but he has done pretty well for himself. I know the $4 billion that he made from Disney selling Star Wars obviously helped him get up to that amount. Estimates for all this is based on like their real estate holdings and their art and shares of companies, whether the companies are public or private. And then they take other assets and estimated life earnings, and then they figure it out. And $5.4 billion is... the amount of money that George Lucas is laughing to the bank at whenever you hate on him. Just saying. He created Star Wars once upon a time, you know, 1973, starts doodling, and now he's rich. Rich! So rich. He's like Scrooge McDuck in a big, big vault full of classic Star Wars toys. Just laughing. Laughing, enjoying himself, and writing scripts for Star Wars that'll never get used. And good for him. Good for you, George. You brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, and that's a lot of money. You know, you want to throw like 20 bucks the Wookiee's way? Because I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. I'm not saying bad things about you. Hey! All right. Oh, hey, Warwick Davis, if you're a big fan of the actor who has been in lots of Star Wars stuff. You know, my personal favorite is a little Murder Bear Wicket. But Warwick Davis returning to host the celebration stage at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago this April, I believe. And yeah, so if you're going to Star Wars Celebration, that's really exciting. We also got on the YouTube, you're like, look, you already talked about the Galaxy of Adventures. I did. But there are 6 Star Wars Resistance shorts on YouTube. The Search for Kaz, Dart and Cover, Niku's Reward, GLN, When Thieves Drop By, and Treasure Chest. They will only take up 7 minutes of your life because they know children's attention spans. They're real short, like minute and a half. But in case you miss Star Wars Resistance while it's on its mid-season break, you have that. I watched them, and yeah, BB-8's fun, darts with Toradoza, some Gorgs, drunken droids, me saying hit the nose, those acquisition zoners that I can't think of their names right now, thermal detonators, and really just bite-sized Star Wars fun for the kiddos, and for you, dear friend, the children at heart. But that is all the Star Wars news, so we're going to go over to Flavor of the Geek. We're going to start off with just a continuation of the saga of the asshats. Yes, fuck you, Bill Maher, and Armie Hammer. I guess I've sort of forgiven you over the Stan Lee stuff. But the newest recipient of the Asshat Award is the writer and I presume creator of Border Town, because it's canceled because of charges of sexual abuse. Oh man, this bums me out and this pisses me off. I had actually read issues 3 and 4 of the comic to talk about here on this podcast. And I really, really loved them. I enjoyed them. I thought they were great. And now I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about the issue anymore. It's ruined. It's ruined, Eric Esquivel. It's ruined because of your awfulness. And yes, everybody is innocent until proven guilty, but everybody jumped ship on you real, real fast. And you know, who knows, hopefully it's not true, hopefully, but, I'm sorry. Sometimes you just have to side with the victims because somebody's got to, and, Bordertown is canceled. As Danny said, when he texted me, some guys in their D's and, oh, well, I'm just hoping 2019 brings me another independent comic to get excited about, but, don't get me wrong. I like reading the DC and Marvel and concentrating there, but every once in a while it's nice to have a DC Vertigo or an Image book to look forward to, and it's not gonna be Bordertown. So if you were looking forward to more from that, if you got excited by it because of me, I am sorry, but I guess I didn't do anything. I just got excited by something and somebody made bad decisions. And it looks like at least in the business side and the creative business side, there are repercussions for actions. We're gonna move on to the trailer park. Yeah, trailer park. Yeah, welcome to the trailer park. We got a couple of trailers for you. Umbrella Academy comes out on Netflix February 15th, 2019. Looks cool. It's based on Gerard Way's Dark Horse comic. This basically, it's an alternate history. JFK never was assassinated. The original comic was set in 1977, but the trailer does say 1989 for an event, and people look older, so it looks like it's current. This team's basically a dysfunctional family of superheroes. Think Fantastic Four. And it's basically 43 superpowered infants are born to virgin mothers, and then you know, 7 of them get adopted by this guy Sir Reginald Hargreaves, aka the Monocle, who is an extraterrestrial disguised as a famous entrepreneur and a scientist, world renowned scientist, if you will, adopts 7 of the kids and prepares them for an unspecified threat. And his academy is called the Umbrella Academy. The superhero names of the 7, you get Space Boy, the Kraken, the Rumor, the Seance, Number 5, the Horror, and the White Violin. This could be fun. Jeebus knows I don't need any more TV to watch. It is on Netflix, so it'll probably be binge-worthy. But yeah, Gerard Way's comic is becoming a show on Netflix. The next trailer, Brightburn. I had to go back to that accent, right? Brightburn. Whoa. James Gunn produced Evil Superman in theaters May 24th, 2019. And wow. This is not Truth, Justice, and the American Way. This is a rendition of... And anybody who says this isn't like Evil Superman, watch a trailer. It's pretty much right there. Farm boy crashing to parentless or childless couple. But instead of becoming the symbol of hope and goodness and the big blue Boy Scout, you get Damien, sort of demon child with what power is comparable to Superman. Watch the trailer. May 2019. I don't know. It's gonna go on the list of hero movies for the year. I don't know if I'm gonna see this. I'm not a big fan of the scary, and I really, really enjoy Superman. And I don't know, friends. But if the spooky is your thing, or you like weird, interesting takes on superhero tropes, this is probably right up your alley. The next, although this is, I guess it's dark, but it's not, Hellboy, Ian McShane, David Harbour, looking sort of funny. I don't know why his Hellboy looked funny to me. I gotta decompress with friends and talk about it. But a movie with lots of monsters, Mia Jovovich as a dark sorceress. I am in for this. I enjoyed Benicio Guillermo del Toro's, so many del Toro's, so little time, but Guillermo del Toro's first two Hellboy movies are very, very much. This movie, Hellboy, is in theaters April 12th, 2019, and the trailer, it looked cool. I don't know that there was anything crazy special, but I liked it. I thought, I was like, yeah, cool. Right on. Don't know exactly what's going on. I don't know how connected everything's going to be. Doesn't look like we're going to get Abe Sapien. I don't know if we're going to get Liz. But yeah, we're definitely going to get a demon who fights other bad stuff. Yeah, yeah. That's what you're going to get. The trailer. Another trailer, Wookie. Yes, yes. Yes, weird voice. Men in Black International. Man, this looked fun. Liam Neeson. Anytime I hear Liam Neeson's voice, I'm like, yes. And then, of course, Thor and Valkyrie, the Revengers themselves, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. Oh, doing the black-suited fighting aliens thing, only now in international settings. Yes, yes, some stuff that looks like London and wherever else. And woo. I think Hemsworth and Thompson have great chemistry, and I look forward to seeing them on screen together in theaters June 14th, 2019. I enjoyed the Men in Black movies, especially the first one for sure. I won't tell you my memory associated with it, but it certainly involves a date with a girl. And I enjoyed the movie very much. And then Men in Black 2, I think I didn't see that in the theaters. I think I saw that on video. I actually didn't think Men in Black 3 was bad either. Josh Thanos and Josh Cable. Yeah, that guy who I can't think of his name. He was in it. And another Men in Black movie that looks like it's actually tied in. At least there's like, you know, there's a moment in the trailer where you're like, oh, is that? Oh, yeah, that is Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. So, yeah, connected into that mythology, but not. And looks cool. Like I said, June 14th, 2019. And yeah, it's a movie I'm probably going to go see. I'm really excited. And there was a trailer for this one was on Laugh It Up Fuzzballs. In fact, I think Brightburn, Men in Black International, and Godzilla King of Monsters, which is the next one. Woo! Godzilla, big old lizard. Had a big old lizard one. Then ran away. He lost his tail. He was sad. But we miss him. We miss him. Woo! Little greenie. But yeah. New trailer for Godzilla King of Monsters in theater May 31st, 2019. I guess all I can say, this is a better trailer than the first one. The first one, I was like, this movie looks bad. And in this one, the movie doesn't look bad. Mothra and I'm gonna lose my Godzilla geek cred here, but so many. Ghidorah, I think, is the name. Oh, I don't wanna go to my phone to look up all the names. Rodan. Wow. Also just breaks down my door and my podcast studio is like, Rodan. I was just thinking of you, buddy. So bad. But all of the kaiju, all of the gigantic monsters, and it looks fun. I think it's four or five. What I said: Mothra, Rodan, Ghidorah, and then Godzilla. So yeah, and who will be king of the monsters? Spoiler: it's in the title, because then he's got to fight Kong, and can't fight Kong if he dies. No stakes. That's what Sean would say. No stakes. But it was a better trailer than the first one. Moving on to some news: Benicio del Toro is going to voice Swiper in the Dora the Explorer movie. Yes, joining Isabella Monet, Eva Longoria, Michael Peña, and others in the Dora the Explorer film. Oh man, I cannot believe that I just used the word film to describe a Dora the Explorer movie. It's finished shooting in Australia. It is going to hit theaters next year, August 2nd, 2019. And, as Isabella Monet and her monkey Boots, in whatever form he is, say, Swiper, no, swiping! Swiper, no, swiping! Benicio del Toro is going to make vocal choices for Swiper. Now, you don't get an actor like Benicio del Toro and then not have... Maybe he's doing it because he's got kids in his life that he wants to be able to go see a movie where he voices something. I have no idea. There's a really hilarious trailer somebody made once upon a time about a Dora the Explorer movie that is not this movie. But yeah, I don't know. When full disclosure, when my oldest child who's 19 now was little, they looked just like Dora the Explorer. They really did, complete with me maybe dressing them in pink and purple shorts at some point, and just being really happy about my little Hispanic child. So I should be more connected to this Dora the Explorer stuff. I know Diego got me all fired up when he first came out because I was, what, a little girl following a singing map isn't good enough? But that's me. And yes, Benicio del Toro, very good actor. It's going to be Swiper, and hopefully he swipes so someone can say no swiping. There were first look images I put up on Laugh It Up Fuzzballs of Netflix's Dark Crystal show. Yeah, Skeksis and goodness. And although the images I put up were not of the Skeksis, they were of the Gelflings. And yeah, this I should have looked up when it comes out, but I didn't. So yeah, it's coming out, and it looks really exciting to me. I was a big fan of the Dark Crystal when I was young, and although that movie is dark and scary, Age of Resistance is the name of the show. And hold on, now I actually went to the interwebs. We're on the interwebs together. We're taking a journey. But it does not say on a real quick glance when we're officially getting it. So sorry, you don't get it. Sorry, friends. Because you don't just want to, like, imagine me, like, on my iPhone. We got Venom 2 is apparently already in production, according to writer Jeff Pinker. He co-wrote the first one, but isn't writing the second one. The movie, oh my goodness, the last I checked when I wrote these show notes, it was over 850 million worldwide. It has probably made more, and Pinker did tease that Spidey might be in the movie without completely confirming that, since he's basically said he can't say anything other than that the sequel is happening. And it made tons of money, so especially worldwide, internationally, so yeah, it's... They're gonna want to make another one, and we shall see. It's interesting. It made so much money. It does raise lots of questions about Spider-Man in the MCU universe, and of course, right now Into the Spider-Verse is doing really well for itself. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. It there you go. it's doing very well for itself, and that's Miles Morales, so we'll see how it all shakes out. I lost my train of thought, and I apologize. For all the fans ruminating on Tony Stark saying the word rescue in the Avengers Endgame trailer, I guess I should just point out that Gwyneth Paltrow's rescue suit was teased all the way back in October. This came from a behind-the-scenes photo with Paltrow in a mocap suit, and then toy rumors of a purple Iron Man suit based on designs that were seen. An actual image of the Goop Lady in the purple and silver armor in front of a green screen was revealed on an unconnected to Marvel Instagram. The name is KPOW_OK. You can check it out if you want. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. Pepper did briefly wear a Mark 42 armor in Iron Man 3. And lest people forget, might actually have superpowers if that particular plot point is brought back up. I think I'd be fine with Rescue showing up. Hopefully others like the idea also. Then Pepper Potts can die trying to save Tony, and then it can get really dark. So there you go. So hashtag Pepper rescue dying saving Tony. There we go. There, that'll trend. I've been pretty vocal about not being able to afford the DC Universe app, although Christmas is coming, so maybe that'll be a gift. But the Titans show has not been enough for me to invest in the service. I've heard both good and bad about that show. Then I am reading one of my comics, Justice League number 14, if you're wondering, and I see an advertisement that got me all sorts of conflicted over whether I'm going to be $75 poorer sooner rather than later. You see, they announced their expanding line of shows for 2019, 5 new original series. So Titans was in November. Then we have Young Justice Outsiders in January, which I was like, other people could tell me about that. I know my my buddy Kyle's probably going to watch that, and he could tell me about it. Then you get Doom Patrol in February. I'm like, oh, I'm interested. Okay, Doom Patrol, that's all, a spinoff from Titans. But then Swamp Thing in May. Oh, and then they're going to have a Stargirl show in August, and then animated, I think it's animated, Harley Quinn in October. And F, I want to watch the Swampy Show so bad, so stay tuned for me losing my fight to not do this service in the near future, especially by May, because I want to watch the Swamp Thing show. Swamp Thing. It had to be Swamp Thing. But yeah, probably going to happen. And, oh well, that's what they do. They find a way to hook you. Although me being hooked by Swamp Thing and all the other things might be funny to you. I don't know. So, what else? Oh yeah, so Disney had some other interesting news. This is from a press release about Marvel stuff on the Disney California Adventure side here in California. But I'm just gonna quote it. So today, to better defend the planet, the Avengers are setting up new headquarters in technology, sharing exchanges around the globe to empower and inspire all potential recruits willing to step up and become heroes. In Disney California Adventure, guests will encounter the heroes in new and exciting ways, from the mystic arts of Doctor Strange to the gravity-defying feats of Spider-Man. Guests will also experience the latest in PIM technology with Ant-Man and the Wasp, and be wowed as Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Captain America, and more leap into action on a moment's notice. So there you go. Press release. There's going to be a new Avengers headquarters. Rest in peace, Bugs Land, that my kids really used to love, enjoy. We're gonna get more. And there you go. There you go. Avengers-y stuff. Whether it's just going to be meeting characters, or whether it is going to include new attractions for people to enjoy, which I'm sure it'll do that. I'm just saying. Pretty positive. That'll be a thing. But yeah, there you go. More stuff. And of course, because Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge is going to suck up so many guests over onto that side of the park with their 14 acres of new amazingness. They need something to keep people in Disney California Adventure. They do. What else? We got Doctor Strange 2 in development with Scott Derrickson, the original director, directing it. So that movie will probably come out in 2020, would be my guess, or maybe later. Birds of Prey has more casting. You're like, wow, it has all the casting. Yes, and now they've added Chris Messina as the villainous Victor Zsasz. If you don't know Victor Zsasz, he kills people and then he scars his body for every person he's killed. And he's got a lot of scars. So we shall see. Of course, I hope that they're not going to just have too many villains. They already have Black Mask with Ewan McGregor. So just hoping then, you know, like the Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn is basically a villain. Although she's going to be working with good guys, but that doesn't mean she's not a villain. Don't forget her and her love for Joker. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But I think that's interesting. Of course, on the stupid show Gotham, one of the only characters that I consistently like is their version of Victor Zsasz. That's neither here nor there. Victor Zsasz is really dark when he's in the comics. So we'll see. We shall see. We got news of a Toxic Avenger movie in the works at Legendary. This news came out of the blue from Danny on the Laugh It Up Fuzzball site. Original directors Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Herz are on board for the project as producers. The movie looks like it's going to have a big budget, and there's not much more than that. But if you were a fan of the Toxic Avenger in the 80s, yeah, you're going to get more. I remember Toxie, and I remember the cartoon and seeing it, but this is not a property that I ever like got crazy into. I just hear Toxic Avenger and I'm like, yeah, that was a thing when I was a kid, when I actually was a kid 30 years ago. But the Toxic Avenger, big budget, although as Danny said, one of the reasons it was great was its low budget. So will they ruin it by making it big budget? Who knows? It's just everything comic booky nostalgia is making money, and they're just gonna milk it until there's no more milk, and then there'll be lots of baby cows that are hungry, and we'll all be ashamed of ourselves. 'Cause that's how it works, right? I don't know. What do we got? DC and Warner Brothers have reportedly begun development on a movie based on the classic comic book superhero Plastic Man. Amanda Idoko is on board as a writer. Basically, this news came out as they were pushing Aquaman, which is in theaters right now. I have not seen it yet, but I hope to soon. Plastic Man, always described as a comedic action adventure, supposed to stay true to the lighthearted and even silly tone of the comics. If you saw the Shazam trailer, that's sort of what I'm thinking. You know, DC was like,
Darkness is how everybody will watch these movies, cause I'm Batman, singing Batman, her Batman, hated Superman.
And then they realized that people weren't subscribing to that channel, so all of a sudden it's like, Plastic Man, I've been all over, and you watch my silly zany movie. I have a friend, his name's Billy Batson, accidental rhyming in the Shazam movie.
I don't know. More songs for you. More songs for you, because I love you.
With the Plastic Man stuff, Parks and Recreation actor Ben Schwartz, who has stated his interest in leading the Plastic Man live-action movie, has tweeted his approval on seeing the news and apparently is already stretching. So there you go. If you saw the Avengers Endgame trailer, you know that Tony Stark lost in space. So go to NASA's Twitter if you want to see their rescue recommendations for Tony Stark. It's really, really cool. What else? Oh, they've already started talking about a Spider-Verse sequel. And why not? Apparently going to focus on a romance for Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen, and also launch Spider-Women. So, you know, we'll get another movie with all the Spider-Women. And sure, why not? I've heard really good things, nothing but good things, actually, for the Into the Spider-Verse movie. Hopefully, I'm actually going to see that tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. So Sunday, no, Heather and I probably won't be seeing that. Monday, Christmas Eve. It'll be our Christmas Eve date. We'll go see some Into the Spider-Verse. We're actually seeing lots of movies because there's lots of movies here at the end. Two of the movies I'm going to be talking about in just a moment. We got news, the live-action Lady and the Tramp movie, which is going to be on Disney Plus, might use real dogs. So it just may not be CGI, you know, amazing Lion King trailer stuff or Jungle Book. Real dogs. I'm a sucker for any movie that has dogs in it. I just saw a trailer for another dog movie. Homeward Bound and Beyond. But yeah, so cool. Live action Lady and the Tramp, real dogs. Maybe they'll be moving their mouse like Beverly Hills Chihuahua, or who knows. I think this could be a lot of fun. Talking animals, great. Good. Great, grand. We got the news that Todd Phillips' Joker movie has wrapped filming, so now it's in post-production. That movie's coming out next year. It's coming, and I'm so dabgum curious to see what this movie's going to be. There was a rumor that Marvel asked Adam McKay to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Nothing official there, but I find that interesting. You know, why not? Why not? I am a fan of Adam McKay's work. So, yeah, I think that could be really... I'm still sort of trying to get over the Lady and the Tramp. Boom, 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 roof. Boom, 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 roof. He's a tramp. He is a scoundrel. The song was originally sung by a girl. He's a tramp. I don't know. This is what happens when you do the laundry and it starts getting later. You know, what are you gonna do? But Adam McKay, getting back to him, if anything, Step Brothers and Anchorman, of course he did do the Ant-Man movie, so lest we forget, he also did Talladega Nights. He's a big fan of like the Will Ferrell and the other guy. I can't think. I just saw a poster of the two of them for that Sherlock Holmes movie where they're like homies and they're throwing up an S and a W. Oh, geez. John C. Reilly is the other guy's name. Sure. I say Adam McKay. That'd be great. That'd be great to do the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And they have to find somebody. And why not look for somebody within their own world? You know what I mean? It makes perfect sense. You know, he even did Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which I thought was a good movie. And that show, Homies, Holmes and Watson, is actually out this. He's done lots of Will Ferrell movies. I actually went to my phone and I'm scrolling down. But, I think it could be a lot of fun. He also has a serious movie called Vice coming out this December, which I may or may not see. But yeah, that is all the news, and we're just gonna finish up with a couple reviews here. What do we got? Oh, so I saw Once Upon a Deadpool. If you did not see, I tweeted about it. I threw up something on the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs page. But man, this movie, 12 Days of Deadpoolmas, started on the 12th, ends on Christmas Eve, so it's Saturday. So this will probably go up on Sunday, hopefully. So that means literally you have today and tomorrow to see it. If you missed it, I'm sorry. But that's also why I put it up on my Twitter and on the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs page. It was so good. They found a way to take a PG-13 Deadpool and make it delightful and amazing. And hopefully you got to enjoy it as well. It was really, really incredibly enjoyable. The way they restructured it, the central thing with Fred Savage and Deadpool. It was really good. And you know, $2, we bought two tickets, so $2 towards fudge cancer. And staying to the very, very end, there was just a great moment. All these reviews are going to be non-spoiler reviews, but Once Upon a Deadpool, it was better than Deadpool 2. Me and Heather saw both versions, and we liked the second version better, just proving that a bleep is the same as a curse word, honestly. So it's pretty funny, and especially when there's just so many bleeps and it sounds like R2-D2. Just really, really good. It was so enjoyable. And if you had told me that, you know, Deadpool 2, that I would come out and be like, you know what, I like it a lot better, I would have probably said you were a little crazy. But I did. It happened. I was there. I was there, friends. It happened. I enjoyed it. Another movie I saw, Mary Poppins Returns. Wow. What a magical movie. Not a perfect movie. Actually, afterwards, me and Heather were talking about it, and I had a couple critiques. She's like, "Don't run Mary Poppins Returns," and she's right, because it was a delightfully lovely movie, practically perfect in every way. Was Heather's review of it? Lin-Manuel Miranda was really, really great in it. Emily Blunt, the people that I'd heard say you forget about her not being Julie Andrews. Yeah, she did Mary Poppins exceptionally. There is a scene using classic 2D animation with a little bit of a twist, which is also great. The songs are really, really good. I don't know if I have a favorite of any of them. I think it might be the song relating to the kid's dead mother, because I always go dark, so dark. But I really enjoyed Nothing's Gone Forever. Just look for things where the lost things go. That was good. Wow. There was another fantasy scene with dolphins. So long and thanks for all the fish. There was a comparable scene to the chimney sweeps dancing, which is really fun. And there was heart and humor, and there was spectacle, you know, all those things that the DC, you know, the DCW shows say they need for shows to be great. All those things were there, and really, really enjoyable. I thought it was good. Go see it. Lots of fun. Heart makes your heart feel good. You just leave the theater feeling good. You do. Yeah, with a big smile on your face. And then the third movie to review, non-spoiler style, Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Yes, Kyle, I finally saw it. And yes, I thought it was really enjoyable. We did a movie night for me, Heather, and her son, Ty, my little guy. And we ate some popcorn, and we watched it. Oh, the little guy's so cute. He's 4. And when it seems like the bad guys are winning, he's just like, no, I don't want to watch it. No, he's so sweet. I love the little dude. But we're like, just keep watching. Good guys can win. You got to have faith in them. And it's just so funny. Oh, man. But like cheerleading. See, we learn. Things get tough. But the good guys persevere. But Teen Titans Go is a silly show. And they held true to the silliness of that show. And it is, they want a movie, especially Robin. And the big bad is Slade Wilson, Deathstroke. But then there is Nick Cage finally getting to voice Superman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and so many other superhero characters. So many jokes for anybody who loves all this stuff, including Stan Lee cameos. Yes, What else? Oh, just seeing Stan Lee, hearing his voice on screen, that was great. And lots of like posters, because there's every superhero's getting a movie, and some deep dive characters that I won't spoil. Lots of laughter, and then of course it's a silly kids movie. It is rated PG, but farts and poop jokes and yeah, it was all together really, really lovely. I actually bought this on Blu-ray to finally watch it with Ty. I was just waiting. I was like, we missed it in the theater, so I'll wait till it's out to rent or buy. And we watched it. Ty seemed to enjoy it, even though there was the bad guys, you know, potentially winning at the end. There is nothing complicated. That, you know, I figured out what was going on with the bad guy really, really early. But that's okay. It is okay, because that's not the point. The point of that is just to sit down, watch, and enjoy a lovely little Teen Titans Go movie. You know, they go to the movies. And it was a lot of fun. There's actually songs. There are songs. There's a really, really funny, there's like a nice 80s song. It's going to be upbeat. And the movie is upbeat. And it is Robin's comic book movie. I don't know. You got to see it. You got to see it to enjoy. That was actually one of the most fun things, was during the credit to that upbeat song, was me, Ty, and Heather just dancing. Dancing on the bed where we were watching it and having a good time. It was a super silly night, super silly movie, and it was enjoyable. I think totally worth seeing. Totally worth seeing. But that's enough for Flavor of the Geek. Wow, I guess we're almost already at an hour. We'll get through it. We just got to do some real quick small screen Star Wars, Simpsons, sci-fi superhero synopsis. The first thing to talk about is The Flash Season 5, Episode 9, Arrow Season 7, Episode 9, and Supergirl Season 4, Episode 9. This is Elseworlds Part 1, 2, and 3. Man, I enjoyed Elseworlds. I don't think it was as good team up, or what do you, crossover event as last season's, because just that crisis on Earth X was crazy pants. But it was really, really good. I don't want to spoil too much about it, because you may get a chance. Go to the DC app, download the DC app on whatever padular device you use. And it literally, you don't even have to go individually to Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. There is a box that says Elseworlds where you can just watch the entire thing. But the joy of the Barry Allen, Oliver Queen swap is wonderful. That's basically what the first episode entails. Although there is an amazing villain that's sort of a spoiler, but not. But when you watch it, if you remember what I said, then you can groan. Batgirl. Man, really, really good. It was fun seeing Batgirl, and also just some really great, like, there's Easter eggs thrown throughout, but, you know, the names of Penguin, Poison Ivy, Clayface, and Mark Guggenheim at Arkham Asylum, the Bane Mask, Scarecrow Gas, the Shakes, I don't want to spoil everything, so almost spoiled that one, but there's Batman 66 stuff. There's a fun identity of John Diggle on a different Earth. What else? Superman and Lois Lane and maybe when I was talking about Smallville connections, a really delightful Smallville connection. Of course, you get John Wesley Shipp's 90s Flash, although not used as amazingly. I think that was one of my big disappointments. But yeah, really, really good. And you get the monitor, and maybe things connect to the monitor with other things, and then you get Dr. Destiny, and that was really, really cool, and it was just great. It was really, really enjoyable. I wish Supergirl had been used a little bit better in the thing, but I know Danny's gonna want to talk Elseworlds in the future when we finally get around to recording, since we're both done with school. So I'm not gonna talk too much more about it. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it, and you should watch it. The crossovers are always good stuff, And this one was no different. So there you go. That's what I have to say about Elseworlds for now. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 4, Episode 8, called Legends of Tmeow Meow. And the mid-season finale was all sorts of bonkers, as you'd expect with time getting broken once more. There's kitties, puppets, characters acting different, lots of deaths, actually. Some heart-heavy stuff for both Constantine and the not Amaya but British and rad shape-shifting Charlie. I watched this episode with Heather, and trying to explain all the shenanigans which have led up to this was an interesting experiment. What was cool is this episode did go back to some of the earlier Unicorn at Woodstock, Fairy Godmother, and Puritan times, and three-breasted warrior woman stuff, so I didn't have to explain everything. Like, oh yeah, this was from a previous episode. Also just the hilarity of new teams like the Custodians of the Chronology, Sirens of Space-Time, and then the DC's Puppets of Tomorrow. The Sirens Charlie Angel stuff really got me. The A-Team goodness was a close second. It was just all just silliness that escalates quickly, but the point was to resolve the Constantine and Dez stuff in New Orleans, which was done quite nicely at the tail end of the episode with a big reveal that will lead to more drama in the future. Methinks we shall see the demon Neron finally, and if this episode proves anything, there'll be a lot more silliness while we head there. Really, I was happy to see the Professor Stein puppet one last time, and all these actors just get to be goofy and broody. They got to do both. There was also some nice Sari and Charlie bonding, and the addition of Constantine to this team just is so great. I dug this episode, even though it was stupid and even though it was silly. And even though it had an emotional finish, it was awkward and disjointed and wonderful, and yay, Legends. What else? Black Lightning Season 2, Episode 9, The Book of Rebellion, Chapter 2, Gift of the Magi. I really don't like admitting that Black Lightning has found a way to bore me. We're still following Jennifer and Khalil as they strike out on their own, but this all deals with consequences from the whole knife-wielding super assassin that was in the previous episode, and then Jefferson, Anissa, and Gambi trying to track the duo down. Also, really just the whole mid-season finale was just really somber. It was a somber affair, and seemed to just the point being giving the knife lady the name Cutter, introducing a couple new characters besides that. I do like seeing Tobias on screen when he is on screen, but there wasn't that much of that. I think this episode really just felt redundant to me. It felt like a lot of the same story beats from the previous one were used. The goodness of the episode was Jennifer being strong and awesome and using her powers to be a strong, independent female. That is goodness, provided you are okay with this sweet girl who didn't want powers in the first place not being ready to torture because she has a big crush on an old flame from high school. And then what else? There's the new characters, like I said, a new mystery kid named Todd, might be the new Khalil for Tobias. Hello, actor who played the Blue Ranger in the Power Rangers movie. And then you get a mystery teleporting assassin that we know little about, except that he hates rednecks and got a call from someone in Freeland with a job. Also a backstory for Khalil in a dead brother and a possible tracking down his father to give Lynn Pierce actually something to do in this besides cry about her daughter being gone. Did I mention that Black Lightning, Thunder, and Gambi are not really good detectives? Hello trope of always being a little too late. This show has just morphed recently from a grounded family drama to a darker supernatural deal. But there is hope for good episodes in the future. Second seasons are always tricky affairs. Hopefully when the show comes back, it'll get better. Until then, we will have to wait. Simpsons Season 30, Episode 10, 'Tis the 30th Season. Man, this was just really good. A fat man who works once a night a year is my dad. That's basically Bart Simpson's chalkboard writing. You get a Christmas-themed opening sequence with an Empire Strikes Back couch gag. Homer is a wampa. You know I'm going to be happy about that. It starts with Thanksgiving, leading to Christmas anticipation for the selfish little gangsters known as Bart and Lisa. Surprisingly, they only want one present, a smart TV, so it goes to bargain busting at Sprawlmart for Black Friday, like The Purge, but for bargains. Really great joke. Only thing to worry about is cutsies, not to be confused with Nazis, although Homer does confuse them. And then, of course, Homer and Marge make a plan, and the problem is she made a plan with Homer. You gotta like scenes at Sprawlmart for Black Friday, aka the Thunderdome, and just Marge being lovely and kind to Gil. Really, really lovely. I like that Homer, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie dedicate themselves to giving Marge a lovely Christmas, even if their little vacation to Florida is not as nice as the internet ad. You know, some of these resorts claim one thing, but you get another. But then there's some fun stuff. Thelonious Skunk, the mascot at a rundown theme park. Hug a Bowl is good too. Retired Flamingos. Lots of jokes at the expense of Disney, including a Hamilton and Godfather reference. Asbestos Snow, New Star Wars as the Religion of Georgia, and Moe's finishing off was a really, really nice piece. Have a Marvel Christmas and a DC New Year from Comic Book Guy. And honestly, this Sweet Christmas episode was just really good and right up my alley. Way to go, Simpsons, with some heart humor and solar-headed Al Gore. It was fun. Star Wars Resistance, Episode 11, Station Theta Black. Kaz off in the Fireball, which of course is the junkie ship that we've met on the show before. They use that just to, I don't know, just for a little bit of stakes, but it was sort of silly. But the whole point is he is off to rendezvous with Poe Dameron. There are the Love Droids, BB-8 and CB-23, Spywork, and finally on the show, Leia herself. Reconnaissance in the unknown regions at a First Order outpost, which is a lot of fun. Yes, the station looks like a potato with droid eyes, but it's a cool installation, especially since it brings Phasma and her Red Trooper Major Von Reg from Starkiller Base. And also, it's just sort of cool because I know in Empire Strikes Back that the effects guys did use potatoes to look like asteroids. So, yeah, that might not have been accidental. The fun of this episode is Poe and Kazuda Ziona on a resistance mission and reminding viewers of the show, especially adults, of larger connections to the Star Wars sequel universe. There's chases and explosions and stormtroopers and also starship chase battling, light action to enjoy that allows new intel for the growing power of the First Order, and that there really is a connection between all this. Also, there's a really rad looking explosion towards the end of the show. Yes, this episode doesn't hold any plot points pivotal to the galaxy at large, but it's fun. And it's the kind of thing which get little ones into Star Wars, and I will never complain about General Organa scenes, and it's fun. So yeah, so a lot of the shows are on break now. So for Star Wars Resistance, it returns January 13th. In the meantime, there are those YouTube shorts to check out. What else? Walking Dead comes back February 10th. The Gifted comes back January 1st, so that one's coming back first of all of them. The Flash comes back January 15th. Arrow January 21st. Supergirl January 20th. Legends of Tomorrow is actually coming back, I think, April of 2019. And then Black Lightning is going to be coming back January 21st. Simpsons returning January 6th. And I already talked about Star Wars Resistance. So all these shows, a little bit of a break from television stuff. Although, honestly, there's a show I've almost finished. I watched the completeness over like 2 weeks of another show. And then there's a show on Netflix that I have every intention of seeing. And there's a show on Hulu, too. So there'll be TV to talk about, of course. But a little bit of break from the regular TV stuff. So that's everything for this episode of the show. I do have a surprise, probably coming out around Christmas for everybody that hopefully I can have the time to write everything down. But if not, happy Christmas Kwanzaa Festa Ramahana Solstice. I forget what I actually called it on the last episode. Hopefully you have a happy holiday season. And you get everything that you want if you celebrate that way. But just spend time with your geeky friends or your geeky family. And even if they're not geeks, spend time with them. Enjoy some time with them. But yeah, Yeah, it is always nice to know that there are people out there that listen to all my geeky stuff, and I appreciate you. I truly do. And yeah, just thank you for being a listener. And you know, just hear that podcast casting along. Let's sing a non-denominational podcast holiday song. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Let's go. It's the podcast show. This song's over because I don't know words, and I'm gonna quit this thing. All right. And as the music trails off, thanks for listening. You know all the deal. LaughItUpFuzzball.net is the website. LaughItUpFuzzballPodcast@gmail.com is a great email that you could get in touch with me. You can go to the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs Facebook page. Always happy to see people over there having a good time. At Wookie Riot on Twitter and Instagram. That's Wookie with two E's because that's how you spell it. And yeah, just thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for being classy. And this is a episode 1, 2, 3, and an ABC. Simple as don't rate me. ABC 1, 2, 3. That's the podcast number. All right, friends. TTFN. Hopefully you enjoyed the songs. Hopefully you enjoyed the news. Hopefully you enjoyed the reviews. And hopefully you just enjoy living in the geeky world and being you. TTFN. Wookie out.